Amen.
I have not swerved from your testimonies.
Oh.
Your word is true.
Amen.
In your statutes do I take delight. In your precepts do I use. In my heart I am treasured of your word, that I might not sin against you.
Hallelujah. Your word is
truth.
Amen. So my name is Alan Wang, and just a little bit about myself. I grew up on the West Coast pretty much all my life. And some people call the West Coast Best Coast, but I don't know. I've moved to Boston about 5 years ago. I think this is my sixth year being on the East Coast. So I think I'm becoming an East Coaster.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Have you guys been enjoying the Summer School of Truth?
Amen.
Okay. So when I was a young person, I still remember the Summer School of Truth. And I remember this one point. There was a brother, he said, "What is the most important question in the universe? What's the most important question?" And so some people, you know, some young people, they're saying, "Is there a God?" That's a very important question. What's the meaning of my human life? That's another question. And that wasn't the answer that the brother was looking for. Actually, the brother was looking for this question: is the Bible the Word of God? That's the most important question in the universe. Because if the Bible is the Word of God, you know, you read Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God." So you know there's a God, right? So that answers that question. And so the real question is the Bible the Word of God? And hopefully, through these 11 days, after hearing message upon a message, there's this appreciation welling up within all of you. And there's a strong belief that's declaring the Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, and the brother in that message, when I was a young person, they began to share the stories, right? 40 writers, 1,600 years, yet it has the same thought. You know, and then last night we saw the martyrs. Like, consider this. You know, there's a lot of things that we love, right? Maybe for brothers, right now, a lot of people, they really love video games, right? Would you, I was thinking about this, how many of you would die for your video game to preserve it? Like, let's say, you know, if anyone caught you playing that video game, you're done, burned at the stake, right? The reason why we wouldn't die for the video game is because video games are common, they're earthly, right? It's just common, it's something of the earth. But the Bible, people have died for the Bible. So this proves that this book, there is something special about this book. This book is holy, right? This book is the Word of God.
Amen.
How about all the brothers declare, the Bible is the Word of God. Go.
The Bible is the Word of God.
One more time, a little stronger.
The Bible is the Word of God.
Amen. Sisters.
The Bible is the Word of God.
One more time.
The Bible is the Word of God.
Hallelujah. So the Bible is the Word of God. And this morning, this is the last session, and there's really one, it's on our attitude, right, concerning the Word of God. So I'm going to write this word, attitude. And I looked up the word attitude. Maybe you guys can write this definition down. Our attitude, this is according to Webster, it's a settled way of thinking or feeling concerning something or someone. I'll repeat it again. And then the second part is typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. Okay, I'm going to read it again. Ready? What's attitude? It's a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. Typically, one that is reflected in a person's behavior, so a person's actions. Okay, so we're going to use this. And why is our attitude so important? You know, some of the brothers were having fellowship this morning, and I think in this summer school of truth, a lot of you have began to read the Bible, you know, in a daily way. And maybe you're just reading it just to get it done, just to fulfill the 15 minutes. But if we have the right attitude, the proper attitude towards the Word, we're going to get so much more.
Amen.
You get so much more from the Word of God. Amen. And so that's why this matter of attitude is so important. And so I hope as we're listening to this message, we would ask the Lord, Lord, what's my attitude? Lord, does my attitude need a little bit of an adjustment? You know, does my attitude need a little bit of adjustment? Okay, so we're going to move on to the outline. And this is kind of my burden. This first point, how about we all read, I guess it's Roman numeral 6. We all read Roman numeral 6 together. All right, here's a big word. Roman numeral 6. Believe. Okay, you guys remember the definition of attitude? It's a settled way of thinking, right? A settled way of thinking. And so you could say that matter of thinking is tied to this word. Believe. Believe. We need to believe the Word of God. We need to believe the Word of God, that this book is the Word of God. And I guess my main burden has to do with this point B. It's, you know, the first one says accepting the Word of God. And I think a lot of us, we accept that this book is the Word of God. Yeah. But the second point, agree with the Word of God. Agree with the Word of God. So, you know, they've done a study on Generation Z. That's you guys, Generation Z. And they found that Generation Z is a very empathetic generation. Empathetic. That's actually a positive attribute. Do you guys know what empathetic means? It means you care a lot about others' feelings. Like you're very compassionate. You care what they think, how they feel. So that's a positive attribute. But, you know, as all these young people, Generation Z, was filling out these surveys, they noticed that a lot of people, when it came to, like, they were asked questions, do you believe in recycling or something? Or do you believe in, what's your stance on this? What's your stance on this? And I think there's some striking number, like 70% or something. So many people put N.A., N.A., not applicable, or they put, don't have much feeling, because even though they did have a feeling, they didn't want to offend other people. They didn't want to, and they're very careful and very sensitive. Wow. About what other people would think concerning them and what other people would think. Well, when it comes to the Bible, we need to agree with the Bible.
Amen.
This is one point that we shouldn't be so wishy-washy.
Yeah.
Concerning the Bible and the contents of the Bible. And, you know, I was just considering, you know, I was talking to some young people. There was a special fellowship a few nights ago. There were a lot of points that were brought up, very sensitive points that were brought up. And still, I think, within us, within some of the young people, there's still kind of hesitation because of our influence from the age, from our peers, from our school system. There's a little something that's just kind of like, well, I don't know. I really don't know about that point. And so, you know, I was a young person, and I also have, you know, these kind of feelings. And so what do you do when you read something in the Bible and then you just, there's that kind of hesitation, like, I don't know if I agree with that. You know, what do you do? Brothers, what do you do? Lord. Oh, Lord. But maybe I can just share kind of my testimony. Most things that you come across in the Bible, at least this is for me, that I've come across in the Bible when I was younger, and I had some, maybe I didn't know if I fully agreed with it. The reason why was, number one, I actually didn't know what it was trying to say. I realized later, I actually didn't really know what, I thought it meant this, but that's not what it's saying. And then the second is, it's because I didn't have an adequate view or comprehension of the entire Bible. And so that's why I was confused, and maybe within me there was some hesitation. But brothers and sisters, we need to agree with the Word of God.
Amen.
And so I would encourage you all, you know, if there's something, this is another point, if there's something that, you know, maybe you've heard or you read, come across, it's also good to just pray. Pray to the Lord, you know, just be genuine with the Lord. You tell the Lord, Lord, I don't know about this. Like, I don't know about this, but I love you. I love your word. And I believe that the Bible is the word of God. You can just pray the Lord, you know, would shepherd you in kind of everything that's in getting into the Bible, right? Okay, so we need to agree with the word of God. And agree with the word of God. The next point, matter of believing the word of God. And I'll cover this a little bit later. Today, you know Satan, right? Satan? You guys know Satan? Yeah, you know Satan. Satan, because he realizes the Word of God is so precious, and I think we saw this last night, he attacks the Word of God. And I was just reminded as I was getting into this message, from the very beginning, Genesis chapter 3, what did he attack when he came to Eve? What did he attack? He attacked the Word of God. Right? He came to Eve and he said, did God really say? That's the Word of God, right? And so today, Satan is still attacking the Word of God. And in our schools, and you'll probably get this a lot more in college, but there's this kind of like subtle wave, or I don't know what it is. It's just a subtle feeling to make the Bible common. You know, it's just another literary book that we use in our class among all the other common books, right? But no, the Bible is special. The Bible is the Word of God. Is there any other book that can give life? Just think about it. Just think about that. Is there any other book that can give life, that's full of spirit and life? There's nothing. There's nothing. And so, brothers and sisters, I hope if you get anything from my speaking, it's just the Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
The Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay, so once we've settled that, and I feel like if we settle that at a young age, we will be blessed.
Amen.
For the rest of our life. In our Christian life,
right.
If we just settle in our being,
yeah.
No matter what, the Bible is the Word of God.
Right.
We'll have, it's like a compass, right? It'll just guide us. The Bible is the Word of God. Okay, so once we've settled this, believing the Word of God, the next Roman numeral talks about how we need to know the truth. So you may believe the Bible is the Word of God. Like, yes, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. But you don't know what the Bible is talking about, right? That's why, also, we need to get in to the truth of the Bible. And actually, these points under this Roman numeral could really, I was just considering how to present it. It can be summarized into two points, okay? So, we need to know the truth for ourselves, and we need to know the truth for others. Okay, you guys got that? We need to know the truth for ourselves, and we need to know the truth for others. Okay, that's kind of the thought concerning this point. And regarding ourselves, this is pretty self-explanatory. What we know in the Bible affects our experience. So if we don't know much concerning the Bible, then our experience of the Lord is very limited. It's very limited. But I would also say that's kind of on the positive side. But on the negative side, we need to know the Bible also because of for Satan. Personally, because Satan will come and attack us, you know, as I've mentioned. And the truth, knowing the Bible, shuts up the enemy. And I was just reminded of Matthew 4. Do you guys know Matthew 4? What happened with the Lord Jesus? Sorry? He was tempted, right? He was tempted by Satan. Satan came and he was tempted. And so there will be times in our Christian life where Satan comes, he tempts us, he attacks us. And what was the Lord's response? Three times. What's that phrase? This phrase was fresh to me. What was it? It is written.
Amen.
How would we say that? It is written. One more time.
It is written.
Hallelujah. So the Lord, even himself, because he knew the word, he was quoting the Old Testament, he was able to shut up the enemy.
Amen.
It is written. And so we need to know the truth for ourselves, both in our positive experience and also to shoo away Satan, right? When Satan comes to attack us. And for others, we need to know the truth for others. This was very touching to me. And for others, it can really be divided also into two categories of people. You know, there's unbelievers, and then there's also believers, right? I think on this point, it says we need to know the truth for the gospel. That's referring to unbelievers. And we need to know the truth for the church, which is believers, right? And I'll just share this story. And I'll share some personal testimonies from this. Do you guys know the story of Luke 24?
Yeah.
What happened? Oh, who said yeah? Larry? All right, go ahead, Larry.
After Lord Jesus was resurrected, and then there are two disciples that are walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus.
Right.
And then the man appeared to them, and then they are talking to him, and he asked, what are you doing?
Good.
About? And then they told him, do you not know what happened? And they told him about the Lord's crucifixion, and then he stayed with them. And then they went into the house, and they locked it. And then they broke the bread, and the Lord revealed himself to them.
Amen.
Then,
can you guys hear back there? Okay, sorry. Okay, I'm just going to recap what he said. Okay. So there were two disciples. They were leaving Jerusalem after the Lord told them to stay in Jerusalem. They were leaving Jerusalem. So that just shows these two people, they were backsliding. They were leaving. The Lord said, stay in Jerusalem. And they're like, I'm leaving Jerusalem. Okay, so they were kind of on their way out. And then the Lord, like Larry said, appeared to them, and he just kind of walked with them, and you know, they had this little conversation. But what's interesting is at the end, look at this. So eventually they find out that, or they don't know that he's the Lord, but this is Luke 24:27. Eventually the Lord starts to open the scriptures to them. Okay, so this is 27. And beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, he explained to them clearly. He explained to them clearly in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So that's point one. He had the word of God in him. He explained it clearly. Do you know what the result was after he did that? What happened to the disciples? Their heart was burning. Their heart was burning for the Lord. This is verse 32. It says, and they said to one another, was not our heart burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road? And this is the kicker. While he was opening to us the scriptures. Did you guys catch that? So it wasn't just that he was speaking, but he was opening the scriptures to them. And so how does this apply to us in our situation? The more we go on in the Lord, especially, you know, among one another, I think you have a lot of friends, believers, fellow ones, that maybe they're struggling, you know, in their faith, or they're kind of like these two disciples. They're on the road, and they're leaving Jerusalem, a city of peace. Okay, when these ones come to you, what are you going to give them? Are you going to give them human opinion? Are you going to give them human advice? The best thing to give them is to open the scriptures, right? Because here it says their heart became burning while he was opening the scriptures to them. While he was opening the scriptures to them. Okay, so two short testimonies. A while back ago, I had a certain situation. It was actually a family situation. It was very difficult. It was a very difficult family situation. I had a lot of turmoil within, just very bothered with my family situation. And there was this brother, okay, his brother, and he shared a verse. He shared a verse to me. And this verse was, I've heard this verse before, but for some reason, when he was speaking it was Romans 8:28. You guys know what Romans 8:28? It says, all things work together for good to those who love God. That's the gist of it. And this brother, he just said, all things means all things. That was it. All things means all things. And actually, through that word, the Lord shepherded me and spoke to me. And he said, Alan, it's going to be okay. This, what you're going through right now, is part of the all things. All things means all things. So this was just a personal testimony. And afterwards, my heart was burning. My heart was burning. And I was just, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All things means all things. I was just encouraged. You know, my heart, my love for the Lord was just refreshed, right? And there's another story. There's this man. I guess he's a man. Yeah, he was a man. He came to my group meeting, and I think he was, I don't know if he was a believer or not, but he began to open up concerning his work life, his work, and how he doesn't like his work, anxiety, he just feels like there's so much toiling, he's tired of it, you know, just all of these things, just talking about it. And then for some reason, something within me, I don't know where it came from, but a verse just kind of popped up, poof, popped up. And it was Matthew, the verse in Matthew, where the Lord says, come to me, all who toil and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Okay, that was a word that came up. So after he was sharing, you know, after he was sharing kind of his experience, I just told him, I said, it's kind of like this. You know, when we read that verse, come to me, all who toil and are burdened, and I will give you rest. We think of it like, here's the Lord, and I'm going to give you some, this phone is rest, right? I'm going to give you some rest. Here you go, brother. Right? Come to me, and then I will give you rest. Here you go. Come to me, I'll give you rest, right? That's how we reread the verse. But actually, what that verse is saying is, come to me, right? Come to me, and I, my very person, I will give you rest. Like, you can't separate rest from the person, right? You can't. So when you read that verse, come to me, I, my very person, my very essence, I will give you rest. And so I just share that with him. And he realized the Lord Jesus is rest. The Lord Jesus is rest. So anyways, these are kind of two short stories of why we need to have the word in us. We need to have the word of God. We need to get into the word of God for others, right? Amen. And there's another story. Do I have time? Let me see. I don't have time. Okay. Well, anyways, for the gospel, you know, there's also, very short, in the gospel in Acts with the Ethiopian eunuch. That's the gospel. The person, this is what it says in Luke 8:38 or 35. And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he announced Jesus as the gospel. So he didn't just say whatever, and this person got saved, but from this scripture, specific, this Bible, this truth, he announced the gospel, and then this person got saved. Right? So here is just a little picture. We need to know the truth for others. Okay, and lastly, this last point, it's not just to know the truth, not just to know the truth in a doctrinal way. I think we all know this. But the last point is we need to apply the truth in the Bible. And I feel like all three of these points are biggies. So I'm just going to say it. This point is a biggie. It's a big burden. Especially, I feel like, I don't know. Oh, Lord, we need to apply the truth for our experience. I'll just give you an example, you know. Some of you may have heard this matter about calling on the name of the Lord your whole life, right? Who's heard about this matter, calling on the name of the Lord? Okay. So this is an awesome truth, calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord. Okay. How many of us actually call on the name of the Lord throughout our day? You know, maybe sometimes during an exam, you know. Maybe when we're struggling, we call on the name of the Lord. Okay. That's why we need to learn to apply the truth to our experience. Even this small point, you know, this truth that we've heard so much about calling on the name of the Lord, we realize, actually, we don't really apply the truth that much to our experience. And I was reminded, you know, in the junior hires, they talked about the New Jerusalem as gates, or as a wall. The New Jerusalem has great and high walls. That signifies, that truth shows that there's a barrier between the world and the church. Will we be walls to separate, right? Separate the things that don't belong into the city. Okay, when is that truth going to enter into our experience? Brothers and sisters, we need to learn to apply the truth. Not just hear about the truth, appreciate it. Wow, that's a very good point. I never saw that concerning the New Jerusalem, that there's great high walls, that I'm actually part of the wall. We need to learn to apply the truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. I think that's good enough. Maybe I can just end here. How about we just read those three Roman numerals together?
Amen.
We all stand up and let's say, Lord Jesus, I love you twice with a strong spirit. Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. Amen. Amen. It's hard to stop. Brothers and sisters, my name is David Huang. I'm from the church in Boston, and I am so glad to be with you all. Why am I so glad to be with you all? Because I was in your shoes, in California, not here, 26 years ago. Amen. In the Summer School of Truth in the church in Irvine, going over the Bible, the Word of God. And that Summer School of Truth 26 years ago really impacted me. You know, I remember the subject of the Bible, God planned and created, Satan rebelled and damaged, man fell and was lost, but Christ redeemed and built. I remember that from 26 years ago. From what was sown into me. So I hope that what was sown into you this week will be in you the rest of your lives. Last night, I think we were all inspired by all the testimonies, right? that Brother Peter shared of all these brothers and sisters and saints who went before us, who treasured the Word of God. So the next item of our attitude is not only believing, but treasuring.
Amen.
Treasuring means that you esteem something as very valuable. You esteem something as very valuable. So we need to treasure the Word of God. You know, I really appreciated these saints. You know, William Tyndale, the one who translated from the original languages to English. There's a story about him. He was with a priest, and they were together, and there's this boy mowing the lawn. Well, not, I guess mowing, not mowing the lawn, but pushing something in the lawn. And William Tyndale said, you know, if God spares my life, I want that boy to know the Word of God more than you. So he treasured the Word so much that he had the Word, but he wanted others to have the Word. You know, there's another, you guys remember, you saints remember, the brother mentioned Jan Hus in Czechoslovakia and Czech Republic. Well, I went there. So the brother encouraged you to go to the Bible Museum in D.C. I encourage you to go to Jan Hus's house in Prague, Czech Republic. You go to his house. A lot of it's in Czech, but there's some English there. And it tells you the story of his life, how he was for the Lord, how he translated the Bible, how he was burned at the stake. Outside in the courtyard, there's a stunning, tall statue of him in all black with his robe to signify that was where he was burned at the stake. But if you go to his house, there's a little picture on the side inside the museum. There's a picture of John Wycliffe and Jan Hus and Martin Luther. And Wycliffe is holding like a stone, like a sparking stone. It says, Wycliffe sparked a spark. And then you have a picture of Jan Hus with a candle. Hus lit a candle. And then you have Luther there with a torch. And he said, Luther led a torch to the world. And it shone entirely. So these brothers built on each other. And I remember when I was at the museum, I was so touched. That image just hit me. And it really hit me. These brothers love the Lord so much. You know, we need to treasure the Word like these saints did. You know, before this, I was reading of the saints in China right now. You know, China's under severe persecution for the Word of God. And these brothers, they're in jail. And you can't read the Bible in jail because they'll take away the Bible. So what they do is they smuggle pieces of paper with some verses on it. And they give it to the brother. You know, maybe he eats. I don't know what they do afterwards. And you know what they do? They memorize that. And so these brothers who were in jail, in prison in China, who memorized books and books of the Bible. So they say, brother, tell me, John, and just from the first verse all the way through, John. Wow, this is someone who treasures the Word of God. So saints, this is our heart for you, that we would all treasure the Word of God as these saints have treasured. And I want to share a little bit about my testimony with the Word of God and just a little bit about how I've learned to treasure the Word to a certain extent. You know, so my daughter, I have an older daughter. Some of you may know her. She asked me these questions a lot when she was growing up. She said, Dad, if you were on a desert island, what would you have with you if you could pick three things? I don't know, like a cell phone? I don't know what it would be. And then she said, oh, Dad, if we had a fire in our house, what would you take out of the house? Well, that's a good question. So I said, well, first thing I would do is I would make sure you and Mom are safe, get you all the house. And the second thing I would take, I hope this is accurate, is I would get my Bible. Not just any Bible, but this Bible. This Bible. Why this Bible? Well, let me share a little story. So the brother talked about the New Testament Recovery Version, how it started in 1985. There's a printing of it, a little thicker than this. Then in 1991, they created a revised version, and I bought this in 1991, when I was your age, probably. And I've had this for 28 years. And brothers and sisters, when I was around your age, maybe a little older, I read a booklet by Watchman Nee called Reading the Bible. And he said, you should have two Bibles. The first Bible you should read for your meditation and consideration. And when the Lord touches you, you should put the date the Lord touched you on that. And then you should have another Bible, which you have all sorts of study notes and things like that. Well, me being not that great of a student, kind of combined the two. And so I started at a certain point, writing notes to myself wherever the Lord touched me in the Word. And I started in the 90s. So there's notes here in the 90s, there's notes in the 2000s, there's notes from 2010s. But I've had this Bible with me those 1991, 28 years documenting my journey with the Lord. So brothers and sisters, one of my burdens here is have a physical Bible. If you don't have one, get a physical Bible. The leather ones are good because they'll last almost forever, the last 28 years. And, you know, there's many ways to study the Bible, but I encourage you to mark up that Bible. Make that Bible yours. And I'm just going to go through, you know, some of these things are very personal between me and the Lord, but there's a couple things I just want to share with you of how the Lord touched me. So what I would do, I would just read the Bible, just like you're reading the Bible, and when the Lord touches me on something, I would just kind of pray over it, and I would write something about it. So let me just give you a few examples. I'm not going to give you too many. So 1 Corinthians 12:7. This is a note from April 1998, 21 years ago. So it says here, there would be no division in the body, 1 Corinthians 12:25, but that the members would have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And when one member is glorified, all the members rejoice with it. So when one member suffers, so if your brother or sister suffers, you would suffer alongside with that brother or sister. And one member is glorified, you know, something great happens to them. Instead of saying, oh man, I wish that happened to me, you rejoice with them with it. So I was really touched by this, and I wrote this. It's really small. Do I really see the body in this way in verse 16? When one member suffers, do I suffer? When one is glorified, do I rejoice? I'm too short of my vision of the body. Lord, show me the body. So I wrote this 21 years ago. I hope the Lord has had the opportunity in the 21 years, I believe a little bit, to show me the body. Another verse here. I just was going through this. Luke 17, verse 4. These are going to be different from you, obviously, because we all are touched by different things. So we know the passage where where Peter asked the Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? And the Lord says, 70 times 7. So that's 490 times. That's a lot. 490, basically unlimited. But the parallel passage in Luke is interesting. It doesn't say 70 times 7. It says, and if he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns again to you 7 times, this is very good for the summer school of truth, right? The brothers do something and they do it again and do it again, do it 7 times in a day, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And I circled this word, this box, in a day, and I wrote to myself, this proves that if we offend the Lord multiple times a day, he will surely forgive us each time. What a liberation. April 2014. So I must have been going through something where I was offending the Lord multiple times a day. And somehow I got to this verse, and it touched me. I don't remember what I was doing at the time, thankfully. But the Lord touched me. And just one more thing I'll share here before going on to some more points. Romans, I just found this last night. This is very touching. And I don't want to share some of the other things, which are very personal. And just a side note, there are actually some experiences, brothers and sisters, that should be just between you and the Lord and should never be shared. So that just as an aside. So I don't want to share some of those. But this one I thought was particularly touching. It says here in Romans 16, verse 5, in verse 3 through 5, Romans 16, greet Prisca and Aquila, this is a couple, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles, and greet the church which is in their house. And there's a footnote. It said, wherever they were willing to bear the burden of the practice of the church by opening their home. So Prisca and Aquila were these saints who opened their home wherever they were to the church. And I wrote this note, Lord, make my home, our home, an open one to bear the burden of the church life. So you think, oh, that's nice. But then I looked at the date. You know what the date of that was? Well, you probably don't. I know the date of it. I looked at it last night. It was December 1st, 2001. I got married December 26th. No, December 20. December 22nd. December 22nd. December 26th is my wife's birthday, so it's okay. It's still an important date. Is this being recorded? So I got married December 26th. I got married December 22nd, 2001. So as I was reading the word, the Lord touched me before I got married to consecrate my marriage to Christ and the church. And I wrote this. Brothers and sisters, I would just encourage you. I don't know how I can say this, but encourage you to have a Bible and have this Bible be with you the rest of your life. And you might have many versions of the Bible if you mark it up too much. This one's getting marked up quite a bit. But I encourage you to have a physical Bible. You know, I don't want to call out Hiram, but talk to Hiram after the meeting about his story, about his dad giving him his will, the greatest gift that he can give him. And you know what his dad gave him? What did your dad give you, Hiram?
A Bible.
With what kind of Bible?
His personal Bible.
With what in it?
Bunch of notes.
He gave Hiram, in high school or in college, his personal Bible, and it was like giving it to him like it was the most precious thing. Like, this was his heritage. He wasn't dying, I don't think, right? But he was just, this is my heritage to you. And Hiram eventually started using that Bible. So ask Hiram to read the Bible. Okay, so so building up appreciation and treasuring for the Bible. So we see all these examples yesterday of their appreciation for the Bible, so here. So I just want to talk about a little bit about they're here, and some of you may be there. Some of you may be so far advanced in your pursuit of the Bible. That's wonderful. We just encourage you to keep going. Well, some of you may not be there yet. You'd be like, you know what? I don't appreciate the Bible like those persons do. And so I just want to share a little bit about my testimony. Well, first of all, I'd like to say one thing. So in all those examples, Satan was attacking the Word of God, right? Back in the 1300s, 1400s, 1500s, Satan was trying to make the Word of God scarce. So please write that in your thing. Satan's attack, arrow, scarce. So he was trying to make it so that the Word of God would not be able to be taken in by so many different people. So they just couldn't have it. So they couldn't get the Bible. Yeah. Well, Satan has changed his tactic, I believe. And you know what? His tactic now is his attack is to make us indifferent about the Bible. So now the Bible, which all those brothers shed their sweat, their tears, their blood to bring us, we're just indifferent about it. Yeah. We're just like, you know what? I'm gonna watch the Patriots play. I could read my Bible, but you know what? It's all right. Or I'm gonna do Instagram and, you know, my Bible, just, it is what it is. Satan is getting what he wants. Because in both cases, the riches of the word are not getting into God's children. One is he's withholding it. And the second is, I'm gonna give it to you, but you're not gonna treasure it. You're just gonna treat it like it's something common. So brothers and sisters, for us, out of the summer school, I hope our attitude would be, Lord, I will treasure your word. Amen. Lord, I will not be indifferent to your word. Amen. I will not let the enemy attack me by allowing me to be indifferent or treating your word in a common way. So what are some of the ways that we can increase our appreciation for the word? Well, the first thing I would say is just read the Bible. You just read it. Just read it. Rain or shine, year after year. So here's my testimony. When I was your age, sometimes I was the brother sitting on the front. I guess you're assigned, so you can't do this. But sometimes I was the brother sitting in the front. Sometimes I was the brother in the back sleeping. So I was like, you know, I was like okay. You know, I was okay. I wasn't great. You know, I was okay. Did I appreciate the word so much? Maybe a little, maybe not that much. But brothers and sisters, at a certain point, I started to read the word of God. I started to read it consistently. I started to read it month after month, year over year, decade over decade. And over that period of time, I would say my appreciation of the word increases every year. And I do believe 20 years from now, Lord willing, I'm still alive, or 30 years, my appreciation will be even higher. So the first basic rule of getting appreciation for the word is to read the word. Amen. Just read the word. Amen. You know, there's this illustration where, you know, the word of God is just, it's just so healthy for us. You know, there's an illustration about the rice. Have you heard about the rice illustration? Where we feel like, I'm not getting anything when I read the word, right? I'm not getting anything when I read the word. It's like when in places where they make rice, you put the dirty rice in, you have a basket, you take the basket, you put it in the river, and then you lift it up and all the water goes out of the basket. That's like us when we read the Bible. That's like me. It's like, oh, I just spent all this time reading the Bible. I don't remember anything what I just read. So I do it again and again. So you may not think you're remembering anything, but what happens to the rice? that rice is getting clean.
Right.
Even though that basket is not containing the water each time, the rice is getting clean. So when you're reading the word year over year, month after month, your inward being is getting clean. You're building up a very healthy immune system. There's a brother I know very dearly who went to be with the Lord. And he was very, very wise, I would say, and he helped take care of many things, including many full-time trainees, and when I was a trainee. And he was very, you know, he was very good at discerning the situation. So when someone came up to him for fellowship, his first question was usually, how is your Bible reading? And then about 90% of the problems, he's like, okay, read your Bible. Next, you know. Seriously, brothers and sisters, this is what he did. How many problems do we have because we don't read the Bible? You can have such a healthy spiritual immune system by reading the Bible. Okay, but how come sometimes when we read the Bible, it's not so real to us? Well, and we talked about the kingdom seed, the kingdom of God. You remember that a few sessions ago? The kingdom of God is like a seed, and we're like we're the earth, and the seed grows. And as the seed grows, it expands as the growth of the kingdom of God. Well, in Matthew, it talks about the seed, but in Luke chapter 8, it talks about the seed being the word of God. So that seed that we talk about, it's the kingdom life, yes. But specifically, in Luke 8, it says the seed is the word of God. So do you remember the different kinds of soil? So think of that analogy as the word trying to get into us, not just the Lord. And the first type of soil that was the bad soil was the soil beside the way. Right? The way is like right here, right? It's like the dirt path right here. And the beside the way is kind of like on the sides of it. So maybe sometimes that's like our heart. It's like, okay, I'm not really in the world, Lord. I'm not like kind of going to all those parties and doing all those things. I'm kind of like on the side. I'm not like maybe totally safe, but I'm like kind of just on the side. Well, that is a hardening of your heart because the side of the road gets trampled kind of just as much as the middle of the road. So our heart can get trampled. So when our heart is trampled and we come read the word, it just bounces off, right? Have you had this experience? So I'll give you a negative experience of my life. So I was telling the junior hires, when I was younger, I used to read the newspaper, you know, the physical gray thing with black letters. I would read the sports section. So imagine I would read the newspaper for like hours, the different sports section, and then I come to the word of God, and I'm like, oh, this isn't so real. I check my box and like, oh, this is not that real. Well, do you think the problem is with the word of God? Or do you think the problem was with my heart? The problem was with my heart. So something very practical, brothers. It's very practical. So you know at night, you have to do something. Maybe you know you have to read your word, but you want to like watch YouTube for an hour. Or you want to do a game for an hour. Or you want to go on Insta for an hour. Insta, right? That's what you call it? So, brothers and sisters, I would encourage you, don't go on an hour and then read your Bible afterward, because your heart will be hard. I guarantee you. I know this from experience. Do the opposite. Read the Bible first, and maybe the Lord would lead you not to go on YouTube. But maybe you'll just still do it. But still, don't let your heart be hard. Second type of soil is the soil came in, and then the thorns came over it, right? The thorns denote the anxieties of life and the deceitfulness of riches. The anxieties of life, the brothers covered in a special fellowship, so I don't want to talk too much about that, but the deceitfulness of riches can choke the seed in us and cause us to not appreciate the word. Even if we're reading the word, it just bounces off. It just gets choked. And what is the deceitfulness of riches? Maybe we don't have riches. Maybe most of us don't have riches. But I would say the deceitfulness of the pursuit of success. I was in your shoes. You know, I wanted to go to a good college. I wanted to have my whatever, my profession or this and that. But brothers and sisters, then that's all fine. But is that choking you or choking the word? Is your desire to pursue that school, your desire to pursue that profession, your desire to pursue that career, your desire to keep up your grades, your desire to have that SAT score, your desire to have those extracurricular activities, your desire to be able to do this or that, to impress this person or that person, is that so strong that you are allowing that to choke the word of God? Brothers and sisters, I know what I'm talking about in this situation. I was like one of the, I was like you. I don't know how many of you like that. But I was like that. I wanted some certain things in a kind of certain successful way. And at certain times, my heart was so choked by the word of God that I couldn't treasure it. So we just need to go to the Lord. Lord, don't let my heart be hard. Lord, please release me from the choking of the deceitfulness of the pursuit of success. And maybe this doesn't affect all of you, but it probably does affect some of you. Let's see here. Oh. Right, okay, another point is, when are we most hungry? Sometimes we don't even have a lot of hunger for the word, you know what I mean? Sometimes we're not that hungry and we just go through the motions. Well, I would say, when you go, who's gone hiking? Who's gone for a long hike here? Like long, who's anyone gone for a hike more than 10 miles? More than 20 miles? 30? Okay. Is that your hand, David, or is that, no. Okay. So when you go for, okay, that was someone. How long? 30 miles, wow, okay. So when you go hiking, 30 miles, in terms of your appetite, what are you? Brother, what's your name? Victor. In terms of your appetite, what's your appetite? Very hungry. When you exercise, you end up very hungry. So brothers and sisters, sometimes the best way to have an appetite for the word is to exercise your spirit. Come to the meetings, you feel like that, and when you're in the meetings, use that opportunity to exercise your spirit. You know, when you're singing, call the Lord, exercise your spirit, exercise, exercise, exercise. You find out later when you get home that night, wow, I'm kind of hungry for God's word. I'm a little bit hungry. And so your appetite can increase by the exercise of the word. And just a couple things also related to consistency. So I'd encourage you, as best you can, we all fail. I've failed more times than you could possibly have failed because I've lived so many more years longer than you have in reading the word. But we just keep practicing, trying to read the word in a consistent way. And I was inspired once. I knew this brother who was trying to do this thing called 1 mile a day. Has anyone heard this 1 mile a day? So it's this thing in the world where you would run 1 mile a day. And you'll see how many days, months, weeks, months, years, decades you can do it. And this is like a website for it. My internet's not great here, so I didn't have a chance to look it up. But last time I looked up, it was like people could do this like over a decade. They would run 1 mile a day. A mile's not that long. You know, you can do it maybe between 6 to 12 minutes, depending on your speed. But they did it every day. And there are these stories of them. You know, they're in an airport in Jakarta, and they're like, oh, I'm between days. So they're running around the airport. And people are like, what are you doing? You know, this guy in like New Balance shoes running around the airport. They would never, never miss a day. They're injured. They're injured. They're hobbling along, running for a day. They're sick, you know, in their deathbed. You know, like, I gotta go. I have the flu, but I'm like gonna run 1 mile. So they will do anything to run that mile that day. And I was so touched. And this brother tried it. I don't think he lasted more than a week. But the point is, that's the way, you know, Alan was talking about not swerving. That's the way. I'm gonna read my Bible. And I'm just gonna do it. I'm just gonna read my Bible. I'm gonna read it every day. And then you fail, it's okay. You just start again. But that's the kind of attitude we have. It's just to be consistent in our reading of the word. And one thing I was touched with once, and this is for maybe some of you college students. There's a sister that I know who used to take care of some of us younger ones. And she got a very, very, very challenging job in an international financial center. I won't say which one. And she was working like crazy. You know, you guys don't know how bad some of these, well, maybe some of you do. These financial jobs just work you, work you, work you, work you, work you. And she was trying to figure out a way to get out of it. And she told me, I'm like, how are you surviving spiritually? She's like, she can't go to the meetings. She's just working 7 hours, you know, 24 hours, 7 hours, 7 days a week. She said, I made a vow to myself. At the end of every night, I would read at least one verse a day. I read one verse a day. It's 4 a.m. I'm going to go to bed. I got to wake up at 7 to go work again or whatever it may be. I'm going to read one verse. And that one verse sustained her on a consistent basis through that period of her life. Now, I encourage you to read one verse a day, unless you're in that extreme situation, which I don't think any of you here are, but I would encourage you to read the Word of God in a consistent way. Here's another point about the Word of God. When we are getting into the Word year over year, decade by decade, you will not realize the kind of constitution that is built up in you. So that one day when someone asks you a question, you will have an answer that you didn't even realize was in you. This has happened to me many times. You know, one time I was in graduate school. I was in Europe. I was living in Europe at the time for a certain period of time. And I was in a kind of a church there where they didn't have that many brothers, mostly sisters. And a sister asked a question about a point of the truth related to the raptures. And all of a sudden, out of me, this doesn't happen that often, but I had a response based on the Word of God. And afterwards, I'm like, wow, how did that happen? It's because year over year, you just built up. So brothers and sisters, don't be surprised. If you read the Word, you don't know what's going to get constant into you. Another thing that's wonderful about the Word of God is, a brother once shared, the Lord speaks, Watchman Nee actually said, the Lord rarely speaks to us something new that he has not already spoken in the past. He rarely speaks something new that is not spoken in the past, which means most of the time he speaks to us, it's something that's in here. It's something that's in here that he'll speak, that he'll use to speak to us. But we can limit the way he can speak to us, and it's like a typewriter. So say you're first saved, and the Lord wants to speak to you, but there's not much of the Word of God in you. So you'll have like a typewriter, and all he has is the letter J. And J, 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 J. So you're doing something, it's like J, J. She's like, oh, maybe I should stop doing that. Like J, J, J. Or like you're about to talk to your gospel friend, like J, 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 J. It's like J, J, J. Does that mean I should speak the Word? You know? So the Lord can, you know, the Lord can give us a wonderful feeling about that sense of life, which is wonderful, which we never want to put down. But you don't see what I'm saying? It's like, Lord. But then, the brother was saying, the more the Word of God in us, the more keys are put on the typewriter. So the Lord can speak to us in a more specific way. And I've found in my life, the Lord, sometimes he speaks to me by a sense, which is wonderful. But sometimes he speaks to me through the Word that's in me. So I'm doing a certain thing, and the Lord would say, are you seeking first the kingdom in this thing? You know, that's Matthew 6:33. And I would be like, oh, Lord, I'm not sure if I'm seeking first the kingdom. And the Lord would speak to me. I remember a couple years ago, the Lord spoke to me. I was like doing something, and I thought, I had a pretty good day. You know, I didn't sin, I didn't yell at anyone, I didn't cut anyone off, I didn't yell at my kids, I don't remember. It was okay. And then the Lord said, Paul, what was his definition of being put to shame? Paul said, I was not put to shame because even now as always, Christ was magnified in my body. So are you satisfied? Are you not ashamed because you didn't yell at someone? You're just too short. You weren't living Christ today. You should be ashamed. You should be ashamed because you weren't living Christ. So you see what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? Yeah. So when we get the Word in us, then the Lord is able to speak to us. So the final word we'd like to say, I'm going to wrap up here. On attitude is believe, treasure, and the last is respond. And our hope is that what we're sharing here in this summer school of truth is not just for this week. The real test is not 2 days from now. It's not even 2 weeks from now. It's not 2 months from now. It's 2 years from now. It's 20 years from now. It's 20 years from now. Has this summer school and other experiences you've had in the church life given you an appreciation for the Word that you are setting your Christian life to be based in the Word of God? So we're taking the long-term view here, brothers and sisters. Yes, it's good to be inspired. We need to be inspired. But to be inspired without responding, it's just like vapor. It doesn't go anywhere. So in our consecration, I hope our consecration will be very practical. Not just, Lord, cause me to love your Word, but Lord, cause me to have a habit to get into your Word. And cause me to have a habit to get into your Word with a heart that is soft to your word. Cause me to treasure your word year over year, decade over decade, building up a constitution in me of your word. So this is a proper attitude, believing, treasuring, and responding to the word. Amen.
How about we respond to this word by first praying with the ones sitting next to us, and then we'll have some mics in the front where you could overflow. So we've about 13 minutes to share what we enjoyed from this meeting. So we'll have mics here, sisters on this side, brothers on this side.